We thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to take a look at your word. Each one of these commandments is incredibly challenging because we begin to see what your desire is for mankind. And if we're honest, we begin to see in each one of these how we fall short. We all need a Savior. That's what this series, Father, is designed to help us understand. We all need a Savior. Lord, there's so much we can learn in an affirmative way about knowing what your purpose is for us. So Lord, I pray you'll just prepare our minds this morning. Help us to listen closely to your word and what it's telling us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start out this morning with three stories. Okay, three stories. First story is a story about some of those who came over on the Mayflower. You maybe remember studying and reading about them in the past. But when they finally got to the new country and they were able to get close enough to come on the shore, there were some of them that took a smaller boat to find out how the harbor was for taking the ship in. And long story short, it was a Saturday evening when they arrived into the harbor. And those who were on that smaller ship, when they got to land, they didn't go explore everything. They prepared for the next day, Sunday, the Lord's Day. And then they worshiped on that day, worshiped the Lord. And then on Monday, they actually went about their work of trying to find the best place for the ship to come into the harbor. The thing that hits me about that is these guys made their Lord's Day a real priority. It was so much a priority that after those 2 months at sea, before they got on land and just turned everybody loose, they made sure that they honored God in the way that they felt led to do so, that they were convicted to. And what's interesting is when they got there on Saturday night, they prepared for that day of rest the next day. And as those of you who know who go on vacations or try to truly have a true day of rest, you have to prepare for a day of rest, don't you? It doesn't just happen. And so it's interesting to take a look at those from our faith in the past and see how they have approached the Lord's Day. And then I think of a man by the name of George Hatch that I read about this past week. He had a large family of 7 boys and 5 girls in the south, in the sand hills of northwest Nebraska. And one Sunday morning, a neighbor rushed over to his place to help the Hatches get their new mown hay into the barn. The clouds were rolling up and the rainstorm was imminent. And the quote of this neighbor was, "Let's get your hay in the barn before the storm hits." To which George said, "Thank you for your kind offer, but I'm going to take my family to church this morning." And the neighbor says, "But you're going to lose your hay." To which Mr. Hatch responded, "Yes, that could be possible. In fact, it happened just that way. The rains came and his hay was ruined." And the neighbor approached him and said, "See, I told you you'd lose your hay." To which Mr. Hatch responded, "Yes, I lost my hay, but I saved my family." What are you talking about? Well, he would have 3 to 4 generations of family coming after him who would be serving the Lord. And in his mind, it was his conviction. That's what he needed to do for his family's sake. He made that commitment, and that's what he did. Second story. Third story is a personal story. I remember when I was in high school, my dad was farming, leasing a place. And we did a lot of hay work. And my dad told me at the beginning of the summer, kind of with a smile on his face, he said, "Son, I'm going to make you believe in Sunday." What do you mean by that? Well, we worked hard. We cut the hay. If we had to bale it at 2 o'clock in the morning, we did that. We worked hard that summer. But every Sunday, Dad shut everything down. Of course, if we had animals to feed or water, we'd take care of those necessities. You want to make sure you take care of those things. But he figured out what he had to do, got that done. We went to do those chores in the morning, went to church for our family. And then I came back in the afternoon. I got to go down to my basement room, which was down in the basement. It was cool down there. And I kept saying to myself, "Lord, I'm so thankful for Sunday." It was a break for me physically and mentally. In fact, that would carry over into my life as a teacher and coach. Made it a point, for the most part, I would not do teaching or my coaching stuff on Sunday, I would just let it rest. And it really helped refresh me. It was very important to me. Now, as you can see, in the ministry, we have to do this a little bit differently, right? It is a challenge, but I think those are just some stories about the Lord's Day I want to share with you, because you can see that to people who've had to grapple with this in the past, this is an important topic to consider and to come to grips with. I'd like to read the passage again, Exodus 28:11, that Gary read for us just a moment ago. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now you might be saying, hold on, Dan, you started to talk about the Lord's Day, and now we're reading about these verses on the Sabbath. Because this was talking about, you know, a Saturday observance of this. What's up with this? How do you put these together? It's a fair question. And so to answer that question, I think we need to go to the Scriptures and take a look at the history of the Sabbath. I'm going to briefly go through a number of verses. Please don't take the time to look these up. I'm not even going to be looking up. I'm going to reference them. You can go back and check them out later if you'd like to. But I just want to give you a quick survey result of what we see about this topic in the Word of God. We certainly can't cover all the passages. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we see that God created the heavens and the earth, we're told, in 6 days. And in chapter 2, the first three verses, He rested on that seventh day. And we're told in that passage that He rested and He blessed it and He sanctified it. It was to be a day unlike other days. Now notice very clearly, this day was given at the start of creation, or after creation, after those 6 days, was to be a pattern of what was going afterwards. And this was before the Jewish nation was ever called out, was ever founded. In other words, God made this point back before the Jewish nation began. That's an important thing to remember as we continue on. But in Exodus chapter 20, what we see is that in this passage we've looked at, again, God tells the people, remember, it's holy. It's the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. It's this day to be set apart. What's interesting is He says this. Notice the parties that are involved with this Sabbath day, with this rest. He says, but in the seventh day, verse 10 of Exodus 20, it is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter. You say, well, I'll let my servants do it. Or your female servants, or your male or your female servants, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. Many different categories of those who are to be given rest. It's interesting that that's brought out here. And so we see this. And then interestingly, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which is the Ten Commandments are repeated again, at the end of their time in the wilderness, before they go into the promised lands, in Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, the emphasis is different. I mean, the words are mostly the same, but then Moses goes on to say, for you were slaves in the land of Egypt, but God has delivered you from slavery. He's brought you out of slavery. So, whereas God had given this commandment for people to rest and because of His creation, now Moses is saying, yes, I mean, that's certainly a part of God's Sabbath rest, and he references that in Exodus. But in the Deuteronomy passage, he says, God has delivered you. He's delivered you from this land where you were in slavery, and He's brought you out. Remember the deliverance that He's given you. And so they were to remember that. And interestingly, a lot of the pagan religions, a lot of the idolatry that went on, if you go back, many people think that Charles Darwin was the first one to invent evolution. It's not true. You go back and look at some of the ancient thoughts, and evolution was a part of many of their ways of looking at the world. But for the believer in Jehovah, in the Lord God, they could say, this is the God who brought us out of the land of Egypt. This is the God who created the earth, in the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then He rested. And your God beat that. No, that's how great God is. I mean, they were to talk about His greatness and His goodness. There are a number of other references in the Old Testament about what they were to do on the Sabbath and different observances. Alan Carr says that in addition to that, there were 1,521 prohibitions that the Jewish people would end up also putting into this idea of the Sabbath. Things like, you could not rescue a drowning person because that was working. I guess that seems a little bit silly, doesn't it? A lot silly. Or, you could not untie knots that required two hands because that was work. Now, if you could do it with one hand, it was okay, but two-hand knot untying, you couldn't do. Another prohibition was this. If your ox fell in a hole, you could rescue it, but if a man fell in, he just have to stay there. By the way, Jesus references that in the New Testament. It's interesting that that is there, isn't it? Another one that's, again, when man adds on to what God says, things get kind of crazy. The thing was, you had to leave fleas, even if it was biting you, because if you swatted it, you were guilty of hunting. So, you know, there you go. All these prohibitions that came about because of this Sabbath that God had established. In Numbers 15, 32 to 36, we have a man who is gathering wood in direct violation of what they'd been commanded. We see what the Jewish law was. That man was taken and he was stoned for violation of the very clear prohibition they were given in the law. The law and the prophets will have the theme of the Sabbath observance throughout. But what about when you get to the New Testament, when you get to the Gospels? What do you see there? Well, Jesus, in Mark 1:21, we're told that he taught in the Capernaum synagogue on the Sabbath. Luke 4:16, we're told that it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. In Luke 14:1, we're told that Jesus ate with a Pharisee at his house on the Sabbath. So there's some fellowship meals that went on there. Then in Luke 23:56, we see that even after the traumatic crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, as Jesus had been put in the tomb and before what we know is his resurrection, the disciples went and observed the Sabbath. So even the disciples, and every reason to believe Jesus did that as well, they took that day and they set it apart. But Jesus, make no doubt about it, he corrected the way that this day was spent. In fact, in the account in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, the disciples were eating grain in the Sabbath, and they were harshly criticized because of that by the religious leaders. Which Jesus said, you know, David and his men, when they were fleeing, they took some of the things that were prohibited, it was unlawful what they did. And furthermore, some of your priests themselves violate the Sabbath. They break the Sabbath because they're serving God. And then he goes on to say, if you would understand that what God desires is compassion and not sacrifice, you understand? And he goes on to say that he was Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus was taking deity. He was taking his place as deity. The servants, because they were serving him, certainly what they were doing was appropriate. And he in no way condemned them for that. Well, after Jesus' death and resurrection, what we see take place is incredible. Because in the New Testament, what we see is a new day comes up that begins to have real significance, particularly to Christians, to those who came to faith in Jesus. And this day is the first day of the week, or the Lord's Day, as the Scriptures will talk about. We first see this on Jesus' resurrection. His resurrection took place on a Sunday. If you look at the Gospel accounts of what took place on Resurrection Day, you'll notice so much happened as he rose and people were coming to grips with his resurrection and all the implications of that. And not everybody was so easy to believe, but there was a special day, that Lord's Day, that first day, that Resurrection Day. And then the next day after was significant because, of course, Thomas was with him and he got to see the risen Savior. And then several weeks later, back about 7 weeks later, there's what we know as the day of Pentecost. Any guess as to what day the day of Pentecost fell on? It was a Sunday. A Sunday. It was on Sunday that God gave his Holy Spirit to the church, and the church was founded. Peter preached this message, and we're told that 3,000 souls came to faith on that day, about that many. Tremendous day. Do you think that day was significant in the lives of the early Christians? And then continuing on in Scriptures, we see that in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12, years later, Paul's with the believers on the first day of the week. And what is he doing? He's teaching. And how late does he teach? Till midnight. Of course, the young man thought was killed at that event, but then the Lord raised him back up. Right? But it was on the first day of the week. It took place years later. And then when we're told in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, that no one was to be the judge of the believers when it came to what they ate, to festivals, to the Sabbath. The old Sabbath, as the Jews observed, they weren't to be judged because they didn't keep that. And then going to Revelation 1, 9 to 10, we see that John on the island of Patmos, an old man, he's there on the Lord's day. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the first day of the week. So we see that for the Christian, the significant day really becomes Sunday as we observe the resurrection, as we observe Pentecost, as we observe the rest of the scriptural accounts. It's a very special time, the Lord's Day. Now we know there's a future. We know Israel today, ethnic Israel, even practices the Sabbath still, Saturday. In Isaiah 66, 23, we're told that in the future, as the nations come to Jerusalem, and Christ is in his kingdom, that the Sabbath will be observed. So we see that even for those of us who are his today, understand the Sabbath is a special day. For us, it's the Lord's Day today in this time of the church. But that's kind of a quick history of how we see the Sabbath, and then we see the Lord's Day come about in the early church and in the rest of the Acts and the epistles. We see this take place. So it's interesting to see that development. That may help us when we try to get a handle on what this means for us. So here's a question, and I'm going to be pretty upfront with you. Some of these might be kind of tough here, but the question is, why is it that people do not remember the Lord's Day? Why is it? Well, some people maybe say, well, that was for Jews. Well, if we understand the observation of the Sabbath on Saturday, yes, you might be able to say that in regard to the Sabbath. As far as the Lord's Day, we can't be so quick to say that because of what we see in the New Testament, how God's people responded to the Lord's Day and how it was significant to them. Someone else may say, well, it's the only commandment Jesus did not affirm. The other nine he did, this one not. Well, maybe not. Again, if we look at what it means for the believer in Jesus Christ, now we're not under the Old Testament law with the Sabbath, the ceremonial Sabbath that they had and all those restrictions. But Jesus certainly himself and his disciples kept it. Obviously, he was criticized by the Pharisees and the religious leaders because they thought that what he was doing was wrong, but he pointed out to them as he's correcting them. Not only was he Lord of the Sabbath, but it was good to do deeds of mercy, helping those who were ill and sick. He was defining, you've got this thing defined wrong, and you've lost the idea of compassion. You need to be helping out those who are in mishap and who are having trouble. Another reason why many today don't remember the Lord's Day is because of the culture. Our culture is moving away from the Lord's Day as being a significant event. You can look back a few decades and see people, a lot more shops were closed, a lot more things didn't happen on Sunday as they do today. Now, it's interesting to me, I find kind of refreshing, there are a couple of businesses even that have made a point not to open their doors on Sunday. I think of like Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A. I think they're doing okay from what I can tell, but they've made that decision. So our culture certainly does not encourage us in this. And jobs, right? Jobs can cause us to have difficulty with this. Now, I realize very, very much so that there are necessary things. For instance, I am very, very thankful that the hospital over here is staffed on Sundays, aren't you? I am. Somebody has an emergency, I certainly hope they can get the help they need. It's a good thing. I'm very thankful that our police, sheriff departments are functioning on these days because, as we all know, their services are certainly needed, even on Sunday. I'm thankful that all the DOC workers don't come home, right? I'm thankful they're there today. It's a needful thing. It's important, right? We know that. It's an important thing. And I know, too, if you may be an employee and you don't have any choice. You've got to go to keep your job. I understand that and I get that. Maybe you could appeal to your employer about, look, could we rotate or something? I could have a way to be off. I mean, just, you've got to work through these things. I understand that. But a lot of times jobs can keep one from commemorating the Lord's Day. Hey, another thing, sometimes we're just busy, busy, busy. We run out of time to do things, and so, hey, we've got overflows of Sunday, or Sunday's an overflow day, let's get it done then. Here's another one. Club sports. Now, as I say that, I can just imagine parents saying, Dan, don't meddle with that one. There are two things I was told about parents and sports, and the first one is, first of all, parents want their kids to play. Secondly, they want their kids to be successful. Coaches will convince their kids if they want to play or be successful, there's this camp you've got to go through. How do I know this? I used to be one of those coaches. Yeah. And I've taken kids to a camp on Sunday before. And I'll never forget my feeling as I was leaving church. I'm thinking to myself, man, what should I do? You know, I'm struggling in my mind if I should be doing this, you know. I'm not saying if you go to a sports camp that it's going to totally ruin your Christian faith, or you're going to worship your sport. But anything can go to extremes, right? Like, how many of you have heard of Urban Meyer? Heard of Urban Meyer? Know who he is? He's the head coach of Ohio State University. He's won national championship there. He also won back at the University of Florida with Tim Tebow. Very successful guy. But between his Florida job and his Ohio State job, the guy crashed because he had no limits or boundaries on his quest to be successful, and he ran himself into the ground in every way, physically, mentally, everything. And to get back into it, he had to promise his family he'd stay with some guidelines, and he's able to rebound a little bit. But the point is, we all need break. We all need rest. And we can go 7 days a week if we're not careful. That camp I told you about that I took my kids to was a passing camp. Because I wanted our team to be better. And surely if we go to this passing camp, we can be better. And so I went. And you know who was the coordinator of that camp? Urban Meyer. He was the assistant coach at CSU at that time. I can promise you this. On that Sunday that we were together, Urban and I were away from the Lord's people. We were away from our families. How much did you think we talked about Jesus? We didn't. Right? All I'm saying is we can allow ourselves to get so wrapped up in what we do that we fail to see what is really most important. I so wished I could tell you today that I had shared the gospel with him, but I didn't. I don't know where he stands. But again, where are you with your priorities? And what is it that you're going to prioritize your time with? So a number of things that can cause us to not remember the Lord's Day. And I don't speak to you as one who has a perfect track record on this or anything. I'm just saying that we can find a lot of different reasons why. Urban Meyer shared that in his experience with coaching, he would text his recruits during the church service so he could get them. You know, he wanted to get guys to. And I have to honestly admit, back in the day during church, I was drawing plays after a game that didn't go so well. We got to figure out something else that's going to work here. So, was I distracted? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, it can happen, right? It happens to us so easy. So, why do we not remember? We just identified something. There are many, many other things, too. But let's talk about what the Lord's Day is not. Just a moment. What the Lord's Day is not. The Lord's Day is not the Jewish Sabbath. Okay. I'm not talking about taking us back to the Old Testament observance of the Sabbath. Okay. I'm not talking about that. It's also not a day where we're going to send the Sunday police out to monitor your activities. Right? Not about that at all. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not about a bunch of restrictions. See, that's where Judaism fell into so many problems. They added so much to what God had said, it became a cumbersome day. Also see that the Lord's Day is not optional. It's not optional. I mean, you look at the early church, they met on the Lord's Day. They were teaching, for giving their gifts, these types of things, we see that took place on the Lord's Day. Fellowship, they're spending time together on the Lord's Day. And history will show us there's been a continuous event from the early church to current times that the Lord's people have had a special time they've recognized on His day, the Lord's Day. And Lord's Day is not a killjoy. It's not to make you miserable. It really isn't. That's not the idea of it. So, talk a little bit about what it's not. Finally this morning, I just want to kind of present to you a vision, if you will, of what is the Lord's Day then? What is it to be? I just want to suggest some things to you. These aren't prohibitions. These are more like holding up a, what if your day was like this? What if your Sunday looked like what I'm about to talk to? How would it help you? How would it help your family? How would it help your church family? How would it help your work if you have a business? How would it help our society if Christians really caught the vision of the Lord's Day in our time? Well, here's the first thing. Worship and spending time in the Word with the Lord's people. We see that was certainly something they did in the early church on the Lord's Day. Worshiping the Lord together and in prayer and spending time in His Word. That's certainly a positive action to do on the Lord's Day. Here's another one. What about rest? Do you have rest built into your schedule? You ever get it? You know, when God first gave this, even at this, after creation, those 6 days, He gave it so that, not because He needed rest, but He knew His creation did, needed time to pause. You have time to rest. Fellowship meals. We see Jesus was at the house of the Pharisee on a Sabbath, getting together. Even talking about the Lord, spending time with each other, nurturing that. I mentioned the necessary work. Yes, there are things that need to be done. We recognize that. I'm not trying to be legalistic about that on the rest end either, but again, just trying to structure our day so it can be restful. What about works of mercy? Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. He was criticized by that. They considered it work. Jesus considered helping someone. Here are a couple of examples. You see someone driving. He's driven and they've got a car broken down on the side of the road. Tough luck, fellow. This is my day off, Lord's Day. Is that what Jesus had in mind? No. Stop and help him, right? Your neighbor's basement floods. Think it's okay to help him with that? I think we get the idea. Jesus is trying to say, have compassion. The Sabbath was meant to get, the Lord's Day in our case is meant to have a day of refreshment. That's the idea. Bottom line, this is to be a time of refreshment spiritually and physically. Is it that for you? That's the vision that I like to cast for you today from what we see about some of the principles that we find in God's original Sabbath and what we see in the Lord's Day as practiced by His people and His Word, the things that they did. Could we have that as part of our vision, as the way we live? Remember, the defining word on the Lord's Day isn't our culture, or even our families of origin, even. It's the Word of God. What does it say? What does it say? By the way, I'm not suggesting that the church put out a list of suggestions of things that you do or don't do on a Sunday. That would be legalism, right? Every family is different, and we would be sure to botch that up if we tried to do something like that. No, that's not what we're talking about. So it's not being regulated outside of your home, but here's the thing. In your families, you've got to decide where you are with this. You've got to work through this. How's your family going to set this day up? How are you going to live it up? Because I tell you this, yeah, we're not going to tell you how to live out the Lord's Day, but if you don't make some decisions as a family, and how are you going to approach this day? It can so easily become just another day. So what's this day going to be for you? You've got to decide that. You've got to work that out. It's going to be family to family. I'd like to close with this. And bear with me a little bit because it came across in one of John MacArthur's sermons on the Lord's Day, distinguishing it between Sabbath and Lord's Day. Bear with me if I just read this because I think there's so many pertinent thoughts that I think will set a positive vision of what the Lord's Day is. I'm going to read through this, and then we'll close out in prayers. Here we go. New Covenant Sunday, then, is kind of like Old Sabbath from Genesis. You remember God blessed the Sabbath day, made it a day of blessing to remember your Creator. Well, He's blessed the first day and made it a day to remember your Redeemer. When God instituted a day of rest originally, it was a day of rest. Under Moses, it was a day of anything but rest. But the Lord's day is for us to be a day of delight. It's to be a day of blessing. It's to be a day not fraught with external regulations. I guess in a sense, in Christ, the rest originally was identified in Eden as recovered. What is the point of the first day? The soul is to be refreshed. The soul is to be refreshed with joy and peace, with spiritual delight. The soul is to be refreshed with divine truth. The soul is to be refreshed in worship with teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. This is a sweet gift from God. We ought to be very thankful that we live in a country that still has vestiges of commitment to Sunday. Fast passing away, aren't they? But it was always intended to be a day of rest. It's not a day to be infused with restrictions and restraints borrowed from the Mosaic Law. In Galatians 4:9, it says, "Now that you have come to know God, to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You don't want to go back to that. You observe the days and months and seasons and years. Don't do that, I fear," Paul says, "for you perhaps I've labored you for nothing. I mean, I've wasted my time setting you up free in Christ. Are you going back to observing days, Sabbath days, months, seasons, years? We're not under any Sabbath law at all, not in the Old Testament sense." Well, the Sunday of Resurrection was a very special day. The following Sunday was a very special Sunday. Pentecost was a very special Sunday. Certainly after Pentecost, Sunday was very well established in the hearts of the people of God. Did they worship only on Sunday? No. They worshiped how often? Every day. Acts 2:46 says, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people." You know, they were experiencing that every single day. And that is what Sunday should be. It should be a day of coming together. It should be a day of devoting yourselves to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. It should be a day of taking meals together with gladness, sincerity of heart, praising God. It should be a happy, joyous day. It's not a day of restraint. It's not a day when we come under the fearful threat of the law. It's a day when we celebrate our redemption. Do you celebrate your redemption on Sundays? Do you recognize what great things He's done for us? May we remember the Lord's Day because He saved us and made a new creation out of us. Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity today to take a look at this command. Lord, we know certainly it has a different conveyance to us here in the church. But it's important for us, Father, to look at Your Word, to study it, to see what it teaches us concerning this commandment, which, Father, we understand today is really described what we have as the Lord's Day. Father, I pray You'll help us to really personally and as families grapple with this and in our own family situations have ways where we can have Sunday be such a special Lord's Day. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.